ACEC is excited to announce that registration is now open for its fall conference taking place in Marco Island, Florida, this October. That's right, after a year of Zoom and virtual meetings, we're excited to be bringing our fall conference back as an in-person event. And we can't tell you how excited we are to look forward to seeing you there in person for all of the content, networking, and education that the fall conference is known for. Log on to www.acec.org for more information. We can't wait to see you there. Welcome to Engineering Influence, a podcast from the American Council of Engineering Companies. And as part of a new recurring series, we really want to put the focus on the Federation, which is really the core strength of ACEC. It's our 52 state and regional member organizations that have the most impact and really the most effect on our member firms. They are in the states, they are in the regions where our member firms operate. And today we want to kind of put a showcase on one of our larger and more well-known and recognized member organizations. And of course, that is ACEC New York. And to have that conversation, I'm very pleased to welcome John Evers, ACEC New York's new president and CEO, on to the program today. And by way of introduction, John took the role of president and CEO effective July 1st of this year from Jay Simpson, who after a long career of contributing greatly to the consulting engineering industry, retired. John joined ACEC New York after serving 5 years with the Business Council of New York, where he was responsible for construction, transportation, telecommunications, technology, contract procurement, and manufacturing issues. And then he also has beyond that experience in the New York State Assembly as a legislative assistant and assistant to the clerk of the assembly, and a senior policy analyst for the Albany County Comptroller and Legislative Affairs Director for the New York State Commissioner of Taxation and Finance. And that is a perfect background for taking over the role as our President and CEO of ACEC New York. So, John, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure. I think the one thing that wasn't in the bio that was the most relevant before I took over as ACEC New York's president and CEO was I was the Commissioner of General Services for Albany County, and then ultimately became the Director of Operations for Albany County, where I oversaw our building program. So I had a personal experience with engineering, construction, architecture, and the like, and for 4 years ran our capital program. But it's a pleasure to be here. I'm happy to be joining you today. ACEC New York is one of the leading MOs in the ACEC family. I believe we're second largest in the universe of MO organizations. We have nearly 300 member firms, well over 210 engineering firms, the rest being affiliates that are related in business one way or another to engineering. And we're very happy to announce that it's our 100th year.
Yes.
Around since 1921.
Congratulations on that. We featured ACEC New York in a spread in a recent Engineering Inc. to talk about that. 100 years, that is a long time. I mean, and of course, I mean, New York as a state, you know, we always think New York in our minds first go to the city of New York, which of course, in its own right, I mean, when we think about infrastructure, when we think about vertical construction, what we think a city to be and all the things that constitute a city, New York is where our minds go first. But beyond that, the state of New York historically, throughout American history, has led the way in some of the greatest engineering achievements that the nation has had, all the way back to its founding. And, you know, George Washington, before he was George Washington, as a surveyor, as part of the British Army, making his way up throughout, you know, the areas of the Hudson Valley. So, I mean, a lot of history here. You know, John, what are some of the big things that your organization is really focused on in 2021?
First is a step back, and I appreciate that intro. Being from the city of Albany, which was founded in 1686, it's right at the terminus of the east-west for the Erie Canal. So for hundreds of years, I mean, you can think of New York, the St. Lawrence Seaway, the Niagara Falls, power junctures, even the Statue of Liberty. Everything that's been engineered and built in New York is just larger than life. And that carries forward to 2021. We're waiting with bated breath, like all of our colleagues are, for the transportation, the infrastructure package in D.C. We have had in New York State a variety of bond acts. I've worked with them professionally when New York State would put on the ballot bond acts for the infrastructure of New York State. We have a whole arsenal of resources dedicated to the infrastructure, and it's not just the roads and bridges. New York has hundreds of bridges, you know, tens of thousands of miles of roads and highways, the Thruway Authority, which is a phenomenal structure that spans, as you noted, from Buffalo through Rochester, Syracuse, Albany, down into New York City. I mean, it's a phenomenal landscape of our architecture. So I think that what we're looking at in 2021 is a lot what we're looking at in 1921. It's building the infrastructure, improving it. We have a vast crisscross of networks in New York State, whether it's the New York State Thruway, whether it's the Port Authority in New York with the AirTrain of connecting the populace in New York City with its great airports, the infrastructure of the New York City subways, the bridges that connect the boroughs in New York City, and even the bridges that span the rivers across New York State, whether it's the Hudson or the Mohawk or the international bridges. So there's not a dearth of projects that we're looking at. There's always something to be engineered in New York State.
Yeah, and it's such an essential economic corridor, because what happens in New York and freight, between the movement of freight, goods, people, impacts the entire Eastern Seaboard and then into, you know, the Midwest. I mean, essentially, having that infrastructure in good repair and making sure it is working correctly is directly tied to national economic competitiveness and our ability to maintain trade. And as you noted, you know, international bridges, being a border state with Canada, I mean, that's something else which is critically important to think about when we talk about infrastructure investment.
It's international.
International.
You can use the word gateway.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest projects we're looking at now, is the connection between two of the most commerce-heavy states we have, New York and New Jersey, which mm-hmm. is ironically the same thing we're doing 100 years later, that the Port Authority shares its common 100th year anniversary with us, with ACEC New York. And 100 years later, we're still partnering with agencies like Gateway and the Port Authority to move that commerce from the East Coast throughout the heartland.
Now, in your conversations with members of Congress and congressional delegations from New York, you know, how well received is the message that, of the consulting engineer, of the importance of maintaining investments in critical infrastructure and making the business climate in New York attractive for a lot? Because really, I mean, when you look at Manhattan, some of the largest engineering firms in the world have their headquarters there. WSP, many others have some significant presence in New York City. How receptive are they to the message of keeping, you know, New York competitive, allowing engineers to do their work and making sure that, you know, the investment is still top priority?
Well, we have a phenomenal delegation from New York State. I'm biased. I know them. I've worked with them for 30 years. We've got great U.S. senators. Fortunately, we have the U.S. Senate leader from New York. And from New York City specifically. So when we go in to tell our congressional delegation the importance of it, they nod. They know. They've all been on the subway. They've all flown into LaGuardia or Kennedy. They know the Port Authority. They know the Niagara Falls area. They know the Robert Moses Power Plant projects. So all of them are keenly aware of what's going on. What we try to stress to them is it's not just the roads and bridges. It's also the skyscrapers in New York. It's the underground work and in the MTA. It's the mass transit that is outside of New York City that has to be engineered. I mean, we're very proud of saying the built environment. And my first letter I gave to our membership was, every single thing in our society is engineered in one form or fashion. But the largest projects need the most intricate design and comprehension and mathematical equations. And that's where engineers come in. So When we translate that, we say, how are you going to get your goods across New York State? How are you going to get things in and out of the United States through the port authorities? How are the runways going to be engineered in such a way that gives you a maximum amount of travel and space for passengers and the accessibility you need from large cities that need a lot of space to land airplanes? So we have very good reaction to them. We always say, we want this now, though. You need this now. Lots of studies are done on bridge deterioration or roadway deterioration. And this is the Northeast. We use salt. We have harsh conditions. Things freeze over. They get it, and we're happy they're working on it. And we, as we say, we have a whole list of projects to be done. So they're pretty good about it.
Yeah, and to your point, resiliency is a significant issue. I mean, the videos that we've seen recently in New York City with the subway flooding because of heavy rains and shifting or more severe weather patterns, that's something else to be concerned about, is making sure that engineers have the flexibility to design resilient infrastructure that can stand the test of time and adapt to changing conditions. Which is something I know that is hotly debated in Washington and is addressed, if not in the bipartisan bill that's being negotiated this week in the Senate, then in the budget reconciliation portion, which makes up the remainder of the American Jobs Plan. Mm-hmm. So that, to your point, I think that's another area where engineering has a strength, has a good hand to play.
Yeah, and we've done studies on this. This isn't just resurfacing. You use the right word, engineering. By its very word, means more intricate, more mathematical, better, stronger steel, better, stronger materials, better plotted and planned out ways to move people, programs, commerce, everything. So it can be something that has to be explained, but we think we do a good job. We've done studies on this. We work with our fellow agencies to do all kinds of public relations. We're trying to do that more. Sometimes it's easy to say, if you sell yourself and you talk about some product and you see it on TV all the time, you start to get second nature. Not everybody says, boy, that road looks really good or that project is really good. They don't think of engineers. We have to tell them, we're the glue that holds it all together.
Yeah, that's the uphill battle, I guess, when you're talking about it, because you see the end result, but it's not evidently apparent. All the work engineering, all the work, the calculations, the design that went into getting that end result. And that is the continuing challenge to get people's attention focused in on that. And also just employment. I mean, between all the firms that you do represent, about, like you said, you're looking about over 35,000 employees.
That's right.
In the industry that reside in New York. That is not an insignificant number of people.
That's the size of a large city.
Yeah, and with a tax base to match as well.
It's a huge economic driver. I mean, I just spent a week visiting our firms in New York City, JBB, AECOM, mm-hmm. HDR, Thornton Tomaselli. These people are really, really the leaders of their industry, and they employ thousands of people building every kind of project. And that's not just, the tall skyscraper or the bridge and road. This is energy. This is water projects. These are some of the projects that make sure that when you turn the lights on, they go on, that the subways run on time. And when you think 35,000 people in the economic driver out there, this is one of the reasons why we say the multiplier effect of engineering is just phenomenal.
Absolutely. And let's talk again about the centennial, because this is a big deal for anyone. And of course, 100 years is a wonderful accomplishment. What do you have planned to celebrate your 100th year anniversary?
We had hoped for a full year long, but we didn't account for COVID. Our staff has done a phenomenal job in pivoting on this. Our chair, Rick Satola, right now from Lyra, has said, geez, we want to go live. We want to bring things back live. What we're going to do right now is in August, we're going to celebrate 100 years. We're bringing our board of directors together here in the Capital District. We're going to hear from one of our most prestigious engineering firms. It's going to be a proclamation from members of Congress, our state legislature, We're going to discuss why engineering is important 100 years later, and it still is. What's interesting is we talk about this in 1921 when we were founded. Al Smith was just leaving his first term as governor. The Port Authority, his idea was just founded. The Great Depression hadn't happened yet. World War II hadn't happened. Cars were a relatively new thing. 100 years later, we want to make sure that our firms, and many of our firms are founding member firms. And as you mentioned, they've grown. They're multi-state, national, and international. So we have our EEA awards going to be this fall. We're going to follow that up with next year with our Back on Track in April. Hundreds of submissions every year. We haven't skipped a beat there to recognize some of the world-class projects we have. And ongoing throughout the year, we've been highlighting each week what engineering means to each particular firm. And we have a variety of different firms. We invite everybody to go on our LinkedIn or Twitter or social media. It's just a phenomenal storybook that's opened all year long of a project, a firm, a celebration just laid out there. And what we're trying to do is get the word out, make it more common for people to thank an engineer.
Yeah. Yeah, and you mentioned EEA, which is a great example. I mean, year after year, ACEC New York, the projects coming out of New York are just spectacular. I mean, they're some of the most groundbreaking, and not just the infrastructure projects, which in their own right are monumental, because generally you're talking about New York City in a heavily populated area, the density that you're talking about, and some of the projects that are happening, not just above ground, but below ground, as you mentioned earlier, just are significant. But then you have these amazing examples of civic architecture, these buildings that are going up with shared and open space. And everybody looks, of course, at the design and the architecture of the buildings, but the structural components, the mechanical, the electrical, everything to make that building actually happen, the skeleton. Yeah, it's a living, breathing thing. And some of the best examples come out of New York. So we can't wait to see what the submissions for the next EEA look like when we get around to our national competition.
Oh yeah, there's you know, even when you look at different places that have grown up organically, like the World Trade Center complex or the Oculus, mm-hmm. things like that, they're phenomenal aesthetic beauties that have a functional purpose. That, as you said, it is a living, breathing thing. Now, I've been in these plan rooms. I've talked to these engineers. The amount of people hours that go into this is just astronomical, and it's got to mm-hmm. work in the end. And they always make it work.
Yeah, exactly. And it's another signal to the policymakers out there, both in the federal and the state levels, that you won't have that kind of construction, that kind of development, economic development and civic development in your communities without a vibrant engineering sector. It just won't happen, because you just won't have the talent and the capability to turn something that is just a theory or theoretical idea into something actual.
And you know, you're raising a good point there. The last few weeks, and I mentioned New York City specifically, though I made it a point to travel our state and to get to know our members. One commonality that's come out there is, you mentioned, the talent. And we're very concerned about this. Engineering is an unsung hero, and it's a tough degree to get. People would talk about pharmacy as a very tough degree, or being a doctor, or mathematics. Engineering is got a touch of everything in it, science, math, theory. To get those kind of degrees and to go into our field is a difficult thing, especially the PE attached to it. So all of our firms are trying very hard, and we're very serious about that at ACEC New York with our leadership training, our emerging leaders, is to make them feel welcome and to belong and to stick with the profession, and to have colleagues and comradeship through it. Sometimes it helps almost to know you're not alone. Internship week ended, and I couldn't believe the amount of people that were thanking their interns. I'm showing these phenomenal projects that they worked in. And it also goes hand in hand with another big initiative that I have and I'm trying to do here as president, is our diversity initiative. We want to have leadership. We want to have kids go into engineering, find it a rewarding, fulfilling career, but then also to say, where are we when it comes to diversity? Where are we at welcoming in people that usually hadn't chosen professions or really had said, you know, this is not how engineering was 20 years ago. How do we make it conducive to be inclusive? So we're partnering to include new scholarships. I mean, our scholarship program has given out over $1 million to engineering students with New York accredited universities.
Yeah, about over a million to about 352 students since 2002, I think is the number, which
exactly.
is significant.
Exactly. And by having those people do that with ACE Mentoring and also the National Society of Black Engineers, which we're going to have an MOU to have that signed so that we would have a trial for 3 years to try to get this off the ground of having them partner with us for a scholarship each year for the next 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I think last year we had 17 scholarships given out. Make it 18 next year.
Yeah. And it's fantastic. And the work that you're doing at the state level helps us at National also with that overarching message through our strategic plan, that focus on diversity and inclusivity. It's the idea of making more people feel that they belong within the industry, and not only that they belong with the STEM education, but that they stick with the profession, that they get the PE, that they are practicing engineers and stay within the industry and rise through the ranks. It's critically important, especially now we have this need for talented engineers, and because the pull away from the traditional engineering practice into, you know, the Silicon Valleys, the more, you know, I guess the technology or even some of the finance fields is so strong. We need to keep people, you know, designing the built environment.
Exactly. We don't want to lose them. Math is in demand. Science is in demand. We don't want them to go into high finance. I mean, granted, we want people to do that as well, but we don't want to lose PEs. We need them. I mean, these are projects that depend on the best and the brightest. So we're trying to encourage them in New York State. We got a lot of fine institutions. In fact, Clarkson University is going to be our keynote at our 100th anniversary. The president's going to, from Clarkson, is going to discuss engineering over his 30-year plus career. And we have universities throughout New York State where they have these students come out. We want to make sure it's a diverse and a welcoming atmosphere and that we can give them the jobs that are fulfilling. Now, one firm, actually it was two firms, had told me that when they talked about the internships in the end of their summer, the best reward was the projects themselves. And they want to have those kids feel that, oh my God, this is really, really conducive to my career, and we're going to stick with it. So it's a welcoming aspect as well.
Absolutely. So there is a lot happening at ACEC New York, without question. I mean, between the centennial, between the work you're doing on D&I, just the active role that you're playing, helping to move the process on infrastructure along. What else is going on? What's your, you know, what else do you see, you know, coming into the, it's hard to believe we're actually at the midpoint practically of 2021 or a little bit beyond that. But for the remainder of the year, coming into a, you know, coming into fall and winter, you know, what are you hoping to see done, you know, and to look back and say, you know what, for the time that I've been here, this has been a successful beginning.
Well, what I really like to see is the transportation infrastructure bill, what's going on in D.C., actually signed. That would be a phenomenal help for everybody, not just engineering, but for society. I'd really like to see that wrapped up. I think the president and the Congress has shown leadership. It's just they need to come to a conclusion and have it signed and moved on so we can get past the preliminaries and into the planning stage, which, as you know, engineering takes multi-years to roll out. That would be a phenomenal thing for ACEC New York. The staff here has been really on the cutting edge when it comes to our programming. I'm very happy to say that, you know, we do webinars and professional development. And while COVID did make everybody shut down, we didn't skip a beat. We're very proud of it. You can go online and see our scholarship presentations, our diversity seminars, our professional development hours, even branching into something as timely as HR. HR is a hot topic today, and our staff's highlighting that. So I think the first year of my presidency would be a phenomenal programming year with live events, with featuring not only the 100 years, but the decade to come, particularly with the transportation infrastructure bill and merging the two of the Empire State with its leading engineering firms, showing world-class projects that are going to be unveiled. We didn't shut down. This is New York. It continues, and it's statewide. So I think that, you know, it's a great time to be present. I'm thrilled it's 100 years. I'm thankful for Jay Simpson for doing a great job. And I think that moving forward, it's going to be, I can't say I'd be here another 100 years from now, but I like him to look back at my tenure and say we never skipped a beat.
Absolutely. Well, I will give a final plug because our ACEC National Annual Report is in the mail and is reaching inboxes. And I know that something new that we have not done in the past is that as part of ACEC New York, we've actually co-mailed the ACEC New York report with the annual report out to your audiences as well. So when you get the report, you're going to get two. You're going to get ACEC National and you're going to get ACEC New York, which I think is a great start and something that we should replicate. So everybody out there in New York who's listening, check your mailboxes because they've been shipped. So it should be a matter of days until you get it. So keep a lookout.
I appreciate that, Jeff. We worked hard on that. We got a great staff here. Our press person, Natasha, did a great job in doing that. And of course, Gina and our staff keep our programming going on. And I can't thank enough. It wouldn't be a successful group without a great board and great members. And our chairman, Rick Satola, my first chairman, has really said, we're going to make this live again. And it's like we're in a regular year, even though we hope we don't re-shut down. We don't like the Delta variant. And we came off of a year of programming, and it's going as strong as ever.
Well, it's going strong, and hopefully it just keeps on building momentum. John, thank you so much for taking the time today. Congratulations on assuming the role of president and CEO. Congratulations on 100 years for ACEC New York and all of the work that you are doing to benefit and help out the engineering industry. It's greatly appreciated.
Hey, I appreciate it, Jeff. Thank you, and thank you for doing this. I look forward to working with you in the future.
Great, as do I. And again, this has been an MO spotlight. It's something that we want to start doing. And you know, we've talked to a couple of member organization execs and talking about some legislative victories. And we also want to talk to our leaders to see what's going on in their MOs and really just, you know, their histories and talk about them and put a spotlight on their great work. So I hope you come and join us again for our next spotlight coming up. And for now, this has been Engineering Influence podcast from the American Council of Engineering Companies. We'll see you next time.